hope it's now clear who Mitras and friends are, and I hope I've been able to illustrate the process by which one becomes more and more deeply involved with the friends of the Western Buddhist order, how one gradually avails oneself of what the FWBO has to offer, what the order has to offer. And I hope I've also been able to illustrate the way in which the friends of the Western Buddhist order and the Western Buddhist order itself are the nucleus of a new society. As one becomes first a friend, then a mitra, then an order member, then a kalyana mitra, one becomes more and more of an individual. Not more and more of an individualist, of course. More and more of an individual. One becomes more aware, more sensitive, more responsible, more emotionally positive, more at home in higher states of consciousness, and one has a clearer and ever clearer vision of human existence. In other words, one develops. Not, of course, that one ceases to develop when one becomes an order member. Indeed, it's only then, one may say, that one's real development begins. As I sometimes say, one only really starts to learn when one has to teach. Not only that, the more one becomes an individual oneself, the more one develops, the more one relates to others also as an individual. The more one relates to them on the basis of ideals, of common spiritual ideals. And within the context of the order, this means that one relates to them more and more on the basis of a common spiritual commitment, that it is a commitment to the three jewels. Usually, unfortunately, one does not relate to others as an individual. One relates to them as members or as a member of a particular group, a particular class or profession or nationality or race or sex or age group or income bracket, party, union, and so on. In other words, one relates to others usually on a basis of a common need. The need may be economic, it may be political, may be psychological, may be sexual, but one relates to others on a basis of a common need. Or one relates to them on the basis of competition, not to say conflict. So one may say that one has two kinds of society. A society of individuals based on common spiritual ideals, a common commitment to personal development, and a society of non-individuals, of those who are simply group members, members of this or that particular group, or of a number of groups, based on common needs, or needs especially for security of various kinds. And the first is what I call a spiritual community, and the second is what I call a group. And the sum total of all existing groups is what we call the world. The first is, of course, the new society, the new society, and the second is the old society. The first is based on the spiral type of conditionality, and the second based on the cyclical type. The first is the achievement of the creative mind. The second is the product of the reactive mind. The first, of course, is very small, the second very big. But our aim must be to turn the second into the first, to transform the group into a spiritual community, to transform the old society into a new society, the new society. And some of the ways in which this can be done will be described in our fourth and last lecture, the day after tomorrow. And it's as the nucleus, at least, of a new society that the Friends of the Western Buddhist Order offers itself, a nucleus of which the order is the central and most essential part. It offers itself not as an organization, but as a spiritual community, a community of individuals committed to personal development by themselves and in association with others similarly committed. And it offers itself as an open community, that is to say, as a community willing to welcome into spiritual fellowship all those who want to grow, who want to develop. I'm quite aware that there are other spiritual movements in this country and in the West, and I'm quite aware that some of them have certain features in common with the FWBO, and that they too offer something which is of value. At the same time, I'm convinced that none of them offers it in such a clear, or such an uncompromising, or such a complete form as does the FWBO. Now our talk is nearing its end, and I hope that those who came expecting a lecture have not been disappointed. I began on an autobiographical note, so let me conclude briefly on an autobiographical note. It's now very nearly 10 years since I decided to return to England and start a new Buddhist movement. It's 9.5 years since I started the Friends, and it's 8.5 years since I started the Order. And for me, these years have been, in a way, quite difficult ones, but also very, very interesting, and I may say very, very happy. I think I can say the happiest years of my life and the most worthwhile. And I think I can say also that I've set out, that I've succeeded in doing what I set out to do. The order is now established on a firm foundation. A number of FWBOs are functioning. At the same time, much remains to be done. We've made a good beginning, but it's only a beginning. And I can only hope that